Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, we'll get one of the adventures, one of the cases of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, launched, and we'll finish that next Sunday night. We'll have Hallmark Playhouse tonight with a story starring a very young Elizabeth Taylor. It's called Morning Glory. We'll have also tonight a case from The Sealed Book, and we'll have The Mysterious Traveler at about 10:30. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll start with The Adventures of Zorro. Zorro was, of course, a major feature in the days of the silent films with Douglas Fairbanks Sr. doing a lot of swashbuckling. He was also very popular on television, thanks to Walt Disney, and for a time on radio, too, in quarter-hour episodes. And tonight's from radio from 1957 is called King's Justice.
En garde, senor. Fight, weakling. Fight, coward. Fight. That for robbing a poor man of his bread.
Look, senor, on the forehead, the mark of Zorro.
The Adventures of Zorro, the mysterious black mask rider who slashes his mark on all that is evil. The letter Z for Zorro, champion of the poor and the oppressed. California, the turn of the 18th century. In the little pueblo of Reina de los Angeles, the plaza resounds with carefree laughter and the sweet romantic melodies of old Spain. Yes, it is fiesta time in Reina de los Angeles, and there's food and wine aplenty, and dancing, and romance.
Soldiers, watch out!
Make way for Captain Raymond!
But even in the midst of their merrymaking, the inhabitants of Los Angeles are reminded that theirs is not the lot of a free people. The poor and wealthy landowners alike fear the wicked politicians sent to rule them by the King of Spain. Even now, a fearful silence falls on the crowd as the dreaded Captain Ramon approaches with his sergeant Pedro Gonzalez and the soldiers. Between them walks a priest, the beloved Padre Felipe, a captive.
One side scum. Out of my way, dogs. That will teach you imbeciles to keep out of my way. Quiet them down, Sergeant Gonzalez, so we can start the trial.
Quiet, you sons of the devil! Quiet! I mean, quiet!
He's growing up!
Mill Martian, God's milk.
Enough, Sergeant. A man is here to be tried for swindling an honest citizen.
Not the father.
Heaven have mercy.
You, Raul Santos, take your case against Padre Felipe.
Santos, an honest citizen?
By your leave, Excellency, I went to the hacienda this padre manages, Excellency, and purchased 10 hides from him. Did I not, padre?
Yes, my son.
See, Excellency, he admits the truth.
Yes, yes, go on.
After paying him and taking the hides away, I found they had not been cured properly. I returned to the hacienda and told the padre as much, but he refused to give me back my money. Is that not so, padre?
Well, padre, what have you to say to this man's accusation?
The hides were good. I told him I would return the money when he returned the hides.
They were spoiled. They were rotten. They caused such a stench, I had to burn them.
So you deny this, padre?
It will do me no good to deny it. I already am found guilty and sentenced. If I were a follower of a dishonest governor instead of a rogue Franciscan monk, the hides would have been good.
You speak treason.
I speak truth. This is but another injustice.
Silence, beggar.
Yes. Beggar. You began by taking our mission lands from us. Lands cultivated by the Franciscan monks. You robbed us of our worldly goods, and not content with that, you are now persecuting us.
Silencio! So you speak the truth, eh? Because a man wears a robe, he thinks he can rob without punishment, does he? In this case, I deem it proper to make an example of the padre because he dares to take advantage of his calling. He will repay Raul Santos the price of the hide. And for the swindle, he shall receive across his back 15 lashes. Sergeant Gonzalez, take him to the whipping post.
Oh, no.
The crowd is hushed as the good padre is led away. There is only one with the courage to champion his cause. The beautiful Lolita Perudo, who with her wealthy suitor, Don Diego Vega, has watched this bitter travesty on justice.
Oh, Don Diego, you must stop them.
I, senorita?
Yes, yes, you are his friend. They will listen to you.
Well, thank you for the compliment, senorita. But Capitan Ramon would hardly listen to my poor words.
Oh, but he will. He respects the name of Vega, your wealth, and your father's influence with the governor.
But the Capitan's word is law. I cannot raise my hand against him. Besides, you know how I dislike any kind of violence.
Don Diego Vega, you have the courage of a mosquito. Where is the fighting blood that flowed in the veins of your ancestors?
You do me a great injustice, senorita. Just because I would rather consort with the poets and writers of books than fight, I am still an honorable man.
I would you were less honorable and more of a man.
Oh, come, senorita. Enough of this. Let us go listen to the music.
Oh, but the padre, he is an old man, and he wears the robe of
yes,
God.
Yes,
surely.
Yes, it is sad. But these are violent times, senorita.
Then you will not help Padre Felipe.
It would be useless.
Very well, then. I will go myself. Buenos dias, senor.
Wait, senorita. I believe she is displeased with me.
As the angry Lolita walks away, Don Diego strolls leisurely toward the sound of the music. Then suddenly, making sure that no one sees him, he streaks to his father's house. Emerges seconds later enveloped in a dark cloak, his face hidden by a stern black mask.
We must hurry, my beauty. Hurry, Blanco. We must save the padre. Faster, Blanco, faster. Five
harder, Sergeant Gonzalez, harder. The padre must be made to pay for his crime.
Six. Oh. Seven. Eight.
So, the padre is too proud to cry out. I will show you my fight.
Stop, in the name of justice.
Who is this man who would obstruct the law?
Senor Zorro, Capitan.
Zorro?
Zorro, the fox.
Yes, Capitan, the fox. And you would be wise not to make me bare my teeth. Release Padre Felipe.
Release him? Rather we would tie you to the post beside him. Continue, Sergeant.
Si, Capitan. Senor Zorro, don't.
Unfasten the Padre, Sergeant, or I'll run you through with this blade.
No, please, good Senor Zorro. I have done nothing. I am only a poor man who obeys orders.
Silence, idiot, and do as I say.
By the saints, this joke has gone far enough.
It is no joke, Comandante. Unless perhaps the point of my sword can make you laugh.
You shall pay for this, senor.
Come, padre. On my horse, in front of me.
May the saints bless you, my son.
Comandante, I have no time to even scores with you now. But the day will come. And when it does, senores, let us hope there will be enough courage among the lot of you to make this fight worthwhile. Adios!
Padre Felipe, thank God you are safe.
Yes, child.
And Senor Zorro, is he...
You need not fear, senorita.
Padre, who is he? You must tell me.
Lolita, my child, you must not ask me that.
But why not, padre?
There is a bond between me and this man, senorita. I cannot betray it.
I too know the meaning of such a bond, padre.
What do you mean?
I too feel it. Here in my heart.
Chiquita, I did not know.
Nor I, padre, until I saw him in the plaza today when he saved you from the whip. He was so fearless and so brave.
I do not know what to say, senorita.
It would do no harm to tell me his name. Oh, please, padre.
Lolita, child. About Don Diego.
Yes, padre. I know. It is he I should marry.
But there is something which you do not know.
Yes, padre?
The truth is, Lolita...
No, padre.
Senor Zorro.
There is nothing about me you cannot discover in your heart, senorita. As for me, all I need know is what I have heard from your own lips.
Oh, you shame me, senor. I spoke too boldly.
Senor, it was foolhardy of you to remain behind. Capitan Ramon and the soldiers...
Before I go, your hand, senorita.
Oh, there is no time. You must hurry.
Then I shall be here to greet the captain when he comes. No doubt they will cast me in a dungeon and leave me there for my bones to molder.
Oh, no, senor. Oh, they're coming. Here, senor, take my hand.
Ah, that is better, senorita.
Oh, senor Zorro.
With your love to protect me, no man can catch me now.
Go. Please, go.
Adios, querida. May the saints keep you until I return.
May you go with God, senor.
After him! There he goes! A purse of gold for the man who captured Zorro!
Oh, padre. Padre.
In just a moment, we'll look ahead to the next exciting episode in The Adventures of Zorro.
Oh, Gonzalez! Whoa! Whoa!
Wait a minute, Sergeant. I have a better plan. We are going to outfox this Senor Fox.
Be sure to be with us next time to find out about Captain Ramon's plan. Another thrill-packed adventure of Zorro. Adventures of Zorro was written for radio by Maria Little and directed by Robert M. Light. This program, transcribed in Hollywood, is a Mitchell Gertz production.
One of the Adventures of Zorro from 1957, that was King's Justice. And now, without further ado, we're going to launch a case for your favorite insurance investigator. That's yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's something called the Laird Douglas Matter. It comes to us, this episode, from April 9th, 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Harry Branson at Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company.
Oh, hi, Harry. What's on your mind?
I have a case for you, a very important one.
Good. Tell me about it.
John, did you ever hear of Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote?
Lord, who... Say that slowly, will you?
Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote.
Sorry, I left my kilts and bagpipes on the other side of the drink.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah, feeling real sharp this morning. But what about this Laird Douglas Douglas something or other?
Can you come down here to Philadelphia and see me?
I hate to be so blunt about it, old boy, but what's in it for me?
A nice retainer fee in any event.
Well, good.
And, of course, expenses and your regular commission if anything happens to Laird Douglas Douglas.
Of Heatherscote.
Why, yes.
Okay, Harry, I'm on my way.
Oh, John.
Yeah?
Come down by plane, will you? The first one you can get.
Urgent, huh?
Yes, John. Very.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. to Harry Branson at the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Following is an accounting of expenditures incurred during my investigation of the Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote matter, whoever Laird Douglas Douglas is, and whether investigation is the proper term at this point, who knows. In any event, well... Expense account item 1, $2,250, air transportation and miscellaneous, Hartford to New York to Philadelphia. For a change, I decided to stay at the Benjamin Franklin, not only because it was convenient to Harry Branson's office on Walnut Street, that is the office of Philly Mutual Liability and Casualty, but because I'd heard it was a nice hotel. It was. And it was convenient to everything else in the center of town. Theaters, good restaurants, nice stores, even a nightclub. Well, anyhow, when I got to my room, I found a half dozen urgent messages that Harry had called. Pretty good indication that his lordship, Douglas Douglas of, or at least this case, was pretty important. So instead of bothering to unpack, I had the bellboy dump my luggage, tipped him, and was standing there debating whether I'd better forego a quick shower and change of clothes when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
John, didn't you get my messages? Why haven't you called? I've been waiting to hear from you. What's wrong?
Hey, take it easy, Harry. I just this minute got in.
Oh. Well, I hope you're coming right on over here to my office.
Well, what's the matter? Something happened to this client of yours?
No, not yet.
But being you, you're expecting the worst, huh? And look, you still haven't told me a thing about this emergency, or whatever you want to call it.
John, it is an emergency, because of the time element. You see, why do we waste time on the phone?
Well, this was your call, not mine.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll be waiting for you.
And Harry, I'll be there. Still knowing nothing whatsoever about what was going on, I decided I'd better be prepared for anything. So I slipped a .38 Colt out of my bag and took it along. Expense account item 2, 65 cents, cab fare. I've said it before when I handled the Amerigo case for him. Harry Branson is a good insurance man, but a worrywart. So I kind of hoped he was making the usual mountain out of the usual molehill this time. However, when my cab pulled up in front of his office building, he was standing waiting on the sidewalk out front. Hey, I keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
John, what took you so long?
Huh?
Thank goodness you're here.
Harry, what are you doing out here? Lose your office or just forget the key?
I almost wish I had. John, we have a problem. A serious one.
Yeah, with Laird Douglas, Douglas of,
Heatherscote. He's up in my office now.
Sounds like international intrigue. Has Scotland declared war on us or something?
This is no time for levity. He's up in the office now, and you must take over immediately. It's a very serious situation. Come.
Okay. Well, now, what's it all about? Has Laird Douglas died and... Oh, no, you said he was up in your office. And I'm sure you don't mean just his body.
Yes, he's there, with Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyton.
Kelly Van... Huh? Are you kidding?
I certainly am not. You see, she insists that you act as his bodyguard.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Harry.
Unfortunately, or rather fortunately for you... 13th floor, please.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately... I said 13th floor, operator. Please, quickly.
Yes, sir.
So, Harry?
Young man, will you please start this elevator immediately?
Gotta wait for the signal, sir.
Signal? This is an emergency. Take off. Immediately.
Emergency?
Yes, it involves Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote.
Oh, well, sure, if it's... Who?
Good man, good man.
Okay. Now, you were saying, Harry...
Was I?
Unfortunately something.
Oh, yes, of course. Fortunately for you, she was quite cognizant of the fact...
Who was cognizant?
Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyton. She knew about the excellent work you did for us in connection with the Ricardo Amerigo case not long ago. Excellent detective work, she called it.
13th floor.
You remember the case, Ricardo, the concert violinist who disappeared, presumably.
Yeah, I remember.
And your almost intuitive deduction that he wasn't dead at all, but had merely staged the whole thing to make it look as the...
Harry.
Oh, yes, of course.
13th floor.
You mean Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van...
Excuse me, mister, but I'm getting signals from the other floors.
Quite right, you should. As I started to say, John, she is one of our biggest personal policy holders.
Good, good. But hadn't we better get into your office and meet her?
Oh, yes, yes. But I want you to know about the personal premiums. Alone, they run to something over $20,000 a year.
Mister, please.
Well, she is an important client.
Yes, yes. And that's why I...
Mister, will you
I didn't
please?
Hesitate to accede to her request that you be called in on this case. I called you, and here you are.
Mister, please.
Hmm? Oh, well, get us up to the... we're here. Why didn't you tell us? Come, John.
Mister, if I was to tell you what I'd like to, I'd...
My office is right this way, John. Come, please.
Hey, look, you better calm down, Harry, and give me the dope on this case right from the beginning.
Yes, I'd better. All right. Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Puyten is a very important client, has been for years.
So you said. But there are a lot of things you haven't said, like, what has she got to do with this Laird Douglas character, and why is he so important?
It's this way, John. The policy on him runs to $5,000, no double indemnity, which is good. As a matter of fact, the policy on him was purely a favor to Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten. You know, considering such short life expectancy and all.
No, I don't know. Is he in his dotage or something?
Well, hardly. Or are you being facetious again?
But you said... Hey, how old is he?
His birthday is next month, May 7th to be exact. He'll be 4 years old.
Four?
That's right.
Short life expectancy?
Of course. You see, John...
Wait a minute. Some horrible disease or something, huh? What's the matter with him?
John... You wanted this from the beginning, so I'll give it to you from the beginning.
Okay, but Harry,
if it hadn't been for Mrs. Van Puyten's own policies totaling something in the neighborhood of $500,000, more in fact...
Harry...
Why, we'd never have written the one on Lord Douglas of Heatherscote. So, now we've cleared that up.
Harry, we passed your office 3 or 4 doors ago.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yeah. But as I'm sure you understand, I wanted to give you some of the background before you talk with Mrs. Van Puyten. After all, you asked for it.
Yes, I guess I did. But what you've given me so far has landed me smack dab in the department of utter confusion. And I'm beginning to think maybe I have company.
Oh, where? Who?
Right here. You, Harry. Now look. Why don't we quietly stroll into your office and let me get the whole thing from Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten herself? Or better still, from Laird Douglas Douglas.
But you couldn't. Of course not.
What?
At least not from him.
Why not?
John... Will you please stop joking?
Who's joking?
This is serious business, very.
Look, Harry.
Yes?
There is one thing I'd like to talk over before we go in to see him, them, somebody.
Yes?
Well, apparently the life and or welfare of this Laird Douglas is in danger.
Oh, no doubt about it. I thought I'd made that very clear to you.
Yeah, well, you said you've written only a $5,000 policy on him.
That's right, $5,000. And purely
Yeah, I know all about that. Now, look, I don't want to seem crass about it, Harry, but my commission, if anything were to happen to him, wouldn't amount to a hill of beans.
Which is precisely why I told you will be paid a retainer while you're on the case. A most generous one.
A generous one? By you?
By Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten.
How much?
Well, John... Now, mind you, this may not require your services for more than a week or so. As bodyguard, that is.
How much?
And, of course, she has authorized an expense account.
Ah.
But, mind you, John, not the usual kind that you seem to have the knack of piling up beyond all reason. Clearly, a completely honest, legitimate accounting...
Harry, how much?
Well, as a matter of cold fact, I have assured her that it will total no more than the amount of the retainer she is prepared to pay you. Any more than that, and, well, you'll have a lot of explaining to do.
Harry, how much is this retainer to be, if I take the case?
I might even go so far... $750 per week, or fraction thereof, and I am sure you will agree that that... What's the matter, John?
$750 a week, plus expenses, when there's only a $5,000 policy involved?
That's right.
But if this 4-year-old Laird Douglas of...
Heatherscote.
Yeah, if he's only worth a $5,000 policy... And what was that crack about short life expectancy?
John, I told you he is already 4 years old.
Look, start all over again, will you, Harry?
Yes. No, on second thought, perhaps you were right. Perhaps you'd better get the details directly from Mrs. Peter
Malcolm Kelly Van Puyten. I know. Now, look, Harry, I think I'd better. I'd better get it from somebody.
Incidentally, John, you understand, of course, that your services will be required only during the affair at Bala Cynwyd. And not one minute thereafter.
No, I don't understand. What's Bala Cynwyd?
Out around Westchester, outside the city, one of the suburbs. Very nice suburb, too. That is where Laird Douglas...
Of Heatherscote.
Yes, John, that is where he will appear.
And you or Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten, or both, if you think his life will be in danger.
Exactly. Oh, John, I knew you were just joking me all the time.
I wish I knew.
Here we are, and everything will be clear to you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank heavens, dear Mr. Branson. I was afraid something had happened to you. You were gone so long, you really had me quite worried.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I had hoped to tell Mr. Dollar something of this affair, and I'm afraid we loitered on the way up. Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten, this is Mr. John Dollar.
Oh, you wonderful, wonderful man. I'm so glad that you've agreed to take on this assignment. You see, Laird Douglas means everything to me. And I have the utmost confidence in you. I'm sure Laird Douglas will, too.
Well, thank you very much. But Where is he?
Why, yes, Mrs. Van Pyton. What's happened to him?
Oh, don't worry, my dear. He's all right. But after all, he is so temperamental. I fear he got a bit impatient waiting for you, and I know you'll forgive him. You will, won't you?
Yes, yes, of course, but where is he?
He's asleep, Mr. Branson, in your inner office. He sat down in your chair and fell fast asleep. Oh, if I could only relax that way. But you must meet him, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, I'd certainly like to.
Of course you would, and I know he'll want to meet you. Gently now. Oh, good, he's awake.
Oh, no. That's Laird...
Laird Douglas, Douglas of Heatherscote. This is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Hey! Hold! Jump!
Douglas! Douglas, no! Somebody. Let go of Mr. Dollar's leg! Douglas, dear! Douglas!
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's, intriguing? Well, tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow? Well, I've handled some pretty doggy cases in my time, but never as a pooch's bodyguard. But suddenly this one begins to smell much too strongly of murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
And there you have episode 1 of 5 of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Laird Douglas Matter. That one came from April 9th, 1956. And we'll have the next 2 episodes of The Laird Douglas Matter right after this. You're listening to Old Time Radio here on the Ideas Network of WPR.